Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from the Are You Serious Sports Network covering the LSU Tigers, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Always, Mike. I appreciate y'all having me.
Blake, I wanted to ask you this the last time we had you on, and we kind of run out of time a little bit, but so I'll throw it to you first. How is the offense going to look differently from a year ago? You got a new offensive coordinator now with Joe Sloan. I knew what he ran, certainly, at Louisiana Tech, and I think it's going to be somewhat of a blend of that. But, man, you got four of your five starting offensive linemen returning with Josh Williams, with Caleb Jackson in the backfield. Garrett, I think, in a lot of ways, reminds me of a young Baker Mayfield when he was at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on how differently this offense will look from a year ago, and not all because of Jaden Daniels, but because of Joe's outlook on how he wants to run an offense?
Well, Mike, just off the top, 12, 13 personnel, you know, they were in multiple packages today. Again, huddle, okay, with comms and mics, going from a huddle in 12 and 13 personnel, running the football, bootleg, things like that, Mike, I think is going to be very different. But I'm not going to say that they're going to be more dink and dunk. You know, I'm not going to say that because Garrett's got a big arm. They will take shots. But, Mike, you're going to see the ball out pretty quickly. Like, they want to get 8, 9, 10 yards and move the chains. Last year I felt like there were a lot of shots that Jaden took over the middle that were beyond the sticks. I think this year with big-body wide receivers like Kyron and CJ, you're going to see things, Mike, that are closer to, you know, a little bit ahead of the sticks, especially on first and second down when it calls for it. That's what we've seen. Now, of course, you have guys like Aaron Anderson who, Mike, I got to admit, I was very bullish on Aaron Anderson a year ago. I backed off of it because, you know, just for reasons told, obviously. But they're going to get Aaron Anderson the football very early. I mean, from what we've seen. So I think just the 12, 13 personnel that they've run in the running game, going out of huddle, going under center, is something that they really want to do, and they really want to establish that running game. So, look, you did that a lot in 22, especially when you got inside the 20s, but not like what you're doing right now. Mike, I explained this to Bill King this morning. It's like Notre Dame with better weapons, you know, on the outside. You're just going to see better personnel on the outside, and I think that that's more of what we've seen. They run more hitch routes than any West Coast offense has ever done that I've seen in my life.
Now, Blake, you talk about the outside, but how about on the inside? I'm looking at this because this is kind of Coach Kelly's wheelhouse. I'm looking at Mason Taylor, and you look at the tight end position. To me, what's interesting is that I think LSU will use two tight end sets probably more often this season than it did last season. And in my understanding, Pimpton has improved as a blocker. But you look at Mason Taylor, and I look at, okay, what's that relationship when you look at the quarterback, you and Nussmeier, with Nuss?
Remember,
career high, he caught seven passes for 88 yards in the bowl game in the win over Wisconsin.
Right.
That was Nussmeier's first career start at the end of last season. So, to me, that just naturally puts him as one of Nuss's top targets based on what have you done for him lately in that last game they played.
Yeah, I told Bobby in the red zone, just make sure you get it to Trey Dez.
You
can't overthrow him.
Look, you can't. And look, to the part of what we've seen, there's a reason Mac Markway went in the portal. His name's Kamarion Pimpton.
Yeah.
all right now, this kid can play. Now, this kid can catch. I mean, there's been multiple times that they've gone to either one of them on third down. You know, what's interesting, every third down we saw in this team drill today and every third down that we saw on this past Saturday, he either threw it to Mason Taylor or C.J. Daniels. It's only two he looked for. So, I mean, just in and of itself, it feels like that's where he wants to target to get first downs, meaning Nussmeier. So, look, bootlegs, the things that they've done in 12 personnel, the action behind the personnel getting, you know, out of the play action is getting somebody into the flat. They ran a corner route with a corner wheel route with Mason Taylor twice today that scored. I mean, look, both touchdowns coming from Mason Taylor today. I think that that was something that had been seen early in camp, but Kamari and Pimpin had really picked it up in the middle, and then today, I mean, Mason Taylor was pretty unbelievable.
You know, Blake, when you look at it, let's give you a trivia question. You would think we'd have maybe in the history of LSU football better numbers by the tight end, but Mason Taylor's only 17 catches and 191 yards away from setting two LSU tight end career receiving records. You know,
he's going to get it by week three.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so right. You know, you think about that. That's Jason Taylor. You know, the pops. You look at that gene pool. He got to be proud of that. Mason making the decision to come to LSU, and then you're the record holder in history.
No doubt. Look, I said this the other night. That tight end room, even with the Peterson kid, the walk on. If you put those four, I know your basketball is played with five, but if you put those dudes on the unit, like in a basketball team, good luck. They're freaks of athletes. I mean, they're legitimate freaks. Like, for example, Kamari and Pinson today on a corner route, and then on Saturday, back of the end zone, mosses two defenders and comes down with it. By the way, I haven't even mentioned Trey Ed Green.
Yeah.
You know, and that is why I think that when you look at that room as a whole, if somebody told me right now, Blake, I think the tight end room is the most athletic room on this team. I'm not batting an eye when someone says that. And I think Tre'Davious Green, look, the things that they've done with him in the red zone have been very innovative, highly innovative. So I think that room in and of itself is going to have a massive year.
Now, Blake, everybody has, you know, the positives or concerns. I'm going to tell you one concern: offense and defense. I like where Nussmeier was at, backing up Jane Daniels. But right now, God forbid, but, you know, you got to be prepared. Injury to Nussmeier, that wouldn't be too good for the offense. And I think all of a sudden that we got to run a whole lot more. I mean, no backup quarterback has really stepped up. I want you to comment on that. And then also on the defensive side, you know, obviously fans ask me, you know, you look in the trenches, but even in the secondary, or are you more concerned, not the star safety with Major Burns, but more a safety position with Gilbert or Allen, or the cornerback position, and where are we at with that as far as with Stamp, Sage Reinhold? So would you say maybe the safety or what?
Blake, don't say safety, because those kids back there, and I'm talking about people like Juwan Johnson and Deshaun Spears, Colin Jackson.
But, yeah, that's the star safety. I'm talking about the other safety. I'm not talking about the guy they have. But the Juwan Johnson, they're backing up Major Burns and all them. I'm talking about the other safety.
Yeah, right? Well, that's what Deshaun and Colin Jackson, they're going to be backing up the safety. Those two young kids, they're not going to be sitting and watching for long.
But
they're going to be playing.
Yeah, I'm just saying from the USC game going, I'm kind of worried about that. Not the star safety, the other safety. What's your take on that?
Yeah,
Blake?
I would say corner, and this would be the only reason, Bobby, would be once Ashton Sampson, Sage Ryan go down, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Like you're in serious trouble. And I'm not trying to be rude. I don't mean that to be rude to any kid. You're in serious trouble. Sage Ryan was out today. They were in serious trouble. And Nuss, once he completed one pass to Kyron Lacy, he was like, all right, it's going to be a long day for J.K. Johnson. And it was. So, look, I think Jordan Allen, if I'm being honest, Jordan Allen's had a really good camp, a really solid camp.
Okay.
You know, he was the one this past Saturday. I mean, his run fits have been really good. He came down on Caleb Jackson this past Saturday when they're going scrimmage. And, look, he's taken on a 235-pound back and hit him right at the line of scrimmage for no gain. If he's going to do that to a 235-pound back, I feel confident that he will do it to others. Here's the thing with Jordan Gilbert. I worry about him, though, Bobby, to your point. I worry about him getting lost in coverage. I really do. So there have been times where they've been very boom or bust, but if Stance goes down or Sage Ryan's out, I really fear that you could be in trouble. I say that, though. P.J. Woodland, the freshman from Hattiesburg, has been pretty solid at times. But, again, you're throwing out a freshman that's 175 pounds out there. The kid just had some issues when it comes to Like they put him out there today. They ran a bubble screen to him. I mean, you got Tyron Lacy versus P.J. Woodland, and that's a mismatch when it comes to blocking on the outside. So I don't know, Bobby. I feel like flip a coin. I'm not trying to cop out on your question here. In reference to quarterback, we're in serious trouble if Nuss goes down. We're in serious trouble. I think A.J. Swan could be serviceable from the 20 to the 20. Once you get him in that condensed red zone, he has had massive, massive troubles. But the opposite has been for Ricky Collins. When Ricky's in between the 20s, okay, he has issues. Once Ricky's gotten down to the red zone, he will pull it and run. And his athleticism is getting you touchdowns or getting that second unit touchdown. So if God forbid Nuss went down, I don't know if I have no clue who goes in there, because both of them have had some. It's not like Nuss the last 2 years where, like, okay, well, your backup role is pretty established. He can come in and do what he needs to do. This is not that. It's not that instance. So, like, for next fall camp, we'll go out there. It's going to be the Bryce Underwood show. LSU fans are going to be, oh, here they go talking about Bryce Underwood again. But the problem with that is that kid's right now more talented. I thought BK said something interesting today, Bobby. You know who? This kid, Colin Hurry, can really spin that thing now. So I know he's 17 years old, but if you're talking about a pure overall thrower of the three that are backups,
Colin Hurry
is by far. Like, look, I know that the taste in sports, what we do, when people say it's not even close, it's overused. Well, I'm about to use it. It's not close.
Okay.
That kid can really spin it. The problem is that his decision-making is like a 17-year-old, too.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's some development there with him. Going back to the safety position, what you've seen of DeShawn Spears and also Colin Jackson, Ooh. We brought it up. And that's why I talked about this, that, man, listen, with Gilbert and Jordan Allen, you know, they're the starters. But behind them, you got two young bucks that are ready to play. What you've seen a practice evaluation on Kylan and also DeShawn Spears?
DeShawn Spears can really cover. He can really move for that length and size. I think for him, look, I'm not trying to be rude to anybody here when I say this. I just don't know. I really don't know how they're going to keep him off the field because of the way he covers. I really don't. You know, on Saturday, he came in with the first unit and picked off. It was either, I think it was Collins or Swan, but they were doing different reps and rotations. But the first team offensive line and running backs and receivers were in there. And he comes down with a pick in the red zone. And so, like, he's had multiple times, not only this camp, but in spring, he's just kind of been all over the place, if I'm being honest. The kid can really play. In reference to Colin Jackson, you got to get him close to the box, because the kid's going to come down full steam ahead, and he's going to try to knock your head off. Regardless if he makes the play or not, he's going to headhunt for you. The issue, Mike, that I think that why Colin has not taken that next step and with that first team and gotten those reps has been that he's been out of position in coverage, and, you know, sometimes it's gotten busted on him. However, in the running game, that kid can really play. And he's going to come up and tackle you, and he's going to really do some good things. So I think that those two young guys behind the guys that are starting, they're more athletic. But, decision-making just got to get better.
Chris Hilton was a guy we saw last year. He got open. Problem is, does he catch the ball? Because it was 50-50 last year. I remember we doing the post game.
Well, Mike, that was also with Kyron Lacy. Remember he was dropping passes.
And Kyron's gotten much better
at
it. He's much more consistent.
Exactly.
We doing the post game for the Ole Miss game. Herb Tyler and I saw the replay. And Herb was like, Mike, the ball went right through Chris's hands on the final play. So when we said it, man, we got all kind of people calling, oh, man, you're not watching the same game. Man, that was a bad pass by Jaden Daniels.
That was right there.
It was right there. It went right through his hands on that deal. Chris, from everything I've heard, has become a more consistent receiver. And you talk about a dude who can haul tail. It's Chris Hilton. He can flat out fly out on the field. From what you've seen as a route runner, I think he got better last year. He got open. It's confidence in him making the catch more than anything.
No doubt. No doubt, Mike. And look, he's been solid this camp catching the football. I think everybody has, you know, to be honest. There's not been many drops in these 7-on-7, 11-on-11 periods. I think I could count on two fingers the drops that I've seen, and I really mean that. I have not seen a lot. Now, again, you know, does that translate on the field? In reference to Chris has really become a more smoother route runner inside 1 through 10. I think that, you know, the multiple slants that he's caught, taking them, you know, 12, 15 yards because of his speed has been something that he's worked on. I know that he's like 175, 180. He just looks bigger. You know what I mean? Like, I know the stat line says he might be 180, but he looks bigger, and he looks leaner. So I think that he's had a very solid camp. You know, in reference to hands, Mike, a couple of days ago, he had a catch one-handed, kind of like Odell on the back of the end zone. Oh. So the kid has really done some good things catching the football. I think for him, he's just got to show that he can catch some of those intermediate routes to pick you up first downs. Now, I tell you who's been very, very good at doing that late has been Xavion Thomas and Aaron Anderson. So there has been a rotation of five guys. Chris has come out, and those guys have come in, give or take. But Chris has established himself, and that's why he's been the third wide receiver at the current moment for LSU.
Now, Blake, before you know it, the USC game is going to be here. And I'm always intrigued, you know, like, okay, who's All-American? Expectations. We all know, you look at LSU, the Associated Press, you had offensive tackle Will Campbell. Then you got linebacker Harold Perkins. Have you done a little homework, or I don't even know who this is. I mean, I don't know enough. I just read something for USC. Zachariah Branch, he ended up being second team All-American.
He can run.
All-purpose. So I think they'll try and get his hands on the ball. I don't know. Look at second team All-American, all-purpose player. So Zachariah Branch, Mike, what can you and Blake tell me about this guy? Because, I mean, he has to be a stud.
You get the ball in his hands and he can run. Now, as a receiver, man, last year, if you threw him three passes, you were fortunate he could catch two. But he is a big play athlete. Man, can he run? The problem with him is, man, I hate to say, he tries to run before he catches the ball.
Okay.
He's always looking downfield for the big play. Now, has he gotten better there? We're fixing to find out, because I think they're going to test LSU secondary with him. Blake?
Without question. And here's another thing, too, Bobby. USC was number one in the country last year in block punts. Their receivers had all three of them.
Yep.
He almost had the fourth one because he wasn't a returner. They went punt team personnel where they had no returner, and he almost blocked a punt against Cal. This kid is a playmaker. It's kind of like Harold Perkins in a way at wide receiver. This kid, put him out there, he'll make plays for you.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you, that kid, we're not going to face many teams where you don't have the best athlete on any team. And I mean like Will or Perkins or anything. Right. When you play USC, he's going to be the best athlete on the field. I think that when it comes down to it, he's going to be the best player that we see on the outside.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem.
Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Blake.
Y'all have a good day, man.
All right, and Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tigers. And, again, a lot of people think that's going to be an over game, and I can understand why with the way USC can put up points and so can LSU.